Okay, if I say eighth grade, what comes to mind? Drama, awkwardness. Please let me think about anything but that. A new film out this week dares you to walk those halls once again, but this time in the age of Instagram. The film is called Eighth Grade, and it tells the story of Kayla, a shy 13-year-old girl in the last weeks of eighth grade, navigating the turbulent waters of pool parties, school dances, awkward romantic advances, an underappreciated video blog. And unlike previous generations, she has to do all of this in a sea of social media.
Hey guys, it's Kayla back with another video. So, the topic of today's video is being yourself. Being yourself can be hard, and it's like, aren't I always being myself? And yeah, for sure. But being yourself is like not changing yourself to impress someone else.
The film was written and directed by comedian Bo Burnham, and like the film's protagonist, Burnham spent some of his teen years posting to YouTube.
Because I'm Bo, yo. I'm the greatest rapper ever, and I'll weather your weather, whether you're thinking better or not. Thinking better, you're not. Don't need a sweater, I'm hot. If I can't think of another rhyme, then I ought to think of one.
But unlike Kayla, Burnham's comedy videos went viral and launched his career as a stand-up comedian. Now, 10 years and many millions of views later, Burnham has made his directorial debut with Eighth Grade. The film is already generating a lot of buzz and some excellent reviews. And so we're really glad that Bo Burnham is with us now from our studios at NPR West in Culver City, California, to tell us more. Bo Burnham, congratulations. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So let me just get this out of the way for people who are wondering. You are a grown man now.
I am, yes. I am growing, but growing, yes, 27.
Growing, 27. Got your driver's license and
yes.
All of that good stuff. So what made you decide to tell a story through the eyes of a 13-year-old girl for your first feature?
I was just really setting out to try to tell a story about what I was feeling at the time, which is I was feeling anxious, and I feel like it was linked to the internet somehow. And, you know, I wanted to talk about what it felt like to be alive right now. And to me, that felt confusing and weird and strange and anxious and unsure. And so I realized that I was describing eighth grade at a certain point. So I went online to watch a bunch of videos of young people talking about themselves, and the boys tended to talk about video games and the girls tended to talk about their souls. So it was like, okay, well, I think it's probably going to be about a girl. And I also wanted to make a movie about this age that didn't feel nostalgic and wasn't a memory. I like nostalgic movies, but I wanted this to be visceral and present, and it being a girl sort of forced me to not be able to project my own experience on this. This isn't a story about my younger self.
Well, I confess that I have an in-house focus group. I have two people in my house who just finished eighth grade. And one of them is a girl.
In-house focus group, I like
that. And I took her to see the film at the screening, and I asked her if it rang true. Like, there was a particular moment when the principal is dabbing, you know, trying to be cool. And I said, gee, that seems kind of corny. And she said, but so very accurate.
Yeah. The corny is intentional. There's the cringe is meant to, yeah. We're trying to honestly portray kids and then honestly portray how adults have no idea what kids are going through.
Let me just play this scene from the film where Kayla is shadowing a group of older high school kids at the mall. She's hanging with them, both studying them and wanting very much to be a part of them, which is also something that rings very true at that age. And I just want to play a clip from where the older kids are talking about the differences even in their age group from what they saw when they were in eighth grade. Let me just play that. Here it is.
She's a different generation than us.
She's not a different generation.
Yeah, she is.
She's 4 years younger than us. I mean,
okay, but people who are like 4 years older than us felt like 50 years old.
That's like blatantly not true.
Your sister?
My sister just sucks.
Okay, but like on top of that, she didn't have Twitter in middle school, and we did. That made us different.
Kayla, you're not different than us.
Well, yeah. When did you get Snapchat? What grade?
Fifth grade?
She's what? Yeah.
Okay, tell me about that scene.
I had felt a disconnect from people. You know, I had felt as close to people 10 years older than me as I did to people 3 years younger than me, because I realized that, like, these once-in-a-generation sort of social innovations were happening every 6 to 8 months. So it was like, you know, if generations were defined by, I don't know, a Walkman and then like vinyl, now these new radical changes were happening every, you know, 8-12 months. And so my thought was, maybe they still are happening once a generation and the generations are gaps are just shrinking. When I was on social media, it was like MySpace, which was like, okay, post a profile picture of yourself and list some of your interests and list your friends and Now it's Instagram, Twitter. What do you look like? What are you thinking? What do you look like? What are you thinking? Those are really baser, deeper, stranger questions. And the way kids interface with it, I think, changes the way they feel about the world and themselves. So I'm just interested in that. I don't think these things are decorative and trends. I think they reach much deeper than that.
What is motivating your interest in this? I mean, because on the one hand, I'll just be honest, looking at this as a parent, I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? What do I do about this? Like, what do I do about this? And I don't think that's your motivation, but I don't feel like your motivation is simply, let me just record and document this. I feel like as an artist, you're pointing us in a certain direction of concern. Is that fair? So what would that be?
I think so. Well, I think I want to subjectively document it, which is different than like objectively documenting it like a, you know, anthropologist or anything. I think I'm trying to describe honestly what it feels like for me. And that's the truth. I'm doing this on behalf of really myself. I mean, I felt like the internet wasn't being represented correctly. There's so much commentary on the internet. There's so much commentary about the internet. And for me, we're just not at a place where we've even gathered the information to have those conversations. So I just kind of wanted to do some emotional inventory and say, this is what it feels like personally, on a personal level. So we can maybe have a conversation about the internet that's a little more subtle than Russia, you know, or cyberbullying, you know, because that's like how we talk about the internet. And there's a much, much subtler conversation about, you know, how it makes us feel in our tummy, you know, and the weird choice we have at the end of the night between every piece of information in the history of the world on our phones and the back of our eyelids. That's a really intense, weird sort of thing to be swinging between.
And it's interesting, too, because your experience with the internet is that it you get the best of it and the worst of it in some ways. I mean, you got this marvelous exposure for something that just started out as kind of a fun personal project, and yet it did kind of change your life, right?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't be here without it. And that's the thing about the internet. It'd be so much easier to address if it was just bad. If it was just bad, we'd just tell the kids and everybody to get off their phones. But the truth is, it just deepens every possible thing, the good and the bad. It's giving exposure to voices that would not be heard. It's giving visibility to people that wouldn't be heard. And it's setting the country on fire. We're connected more than ever, and we're lonelier, and we're numb, and we're stimulated. You know, we're self-expressing, and we're self-objectifying. So it's all of the things, which is confusing to me, and why I felt like I just wanted to explore it subjectively from an emotional standpoint.
That's Bo Burnham. He's a comedian, screenwriter, and director. His new film, Eighth Grade, is in theaters now. He was kind enough to join us from our studios at NPR West in Culver City, California. Bo Burnham, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it.